B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
And Markel Fultz was in the lineup, who the Sixers will be facing tonight in Orlando in the back-to-back. You needed 25 games to see how they would really pull together. Now those 25 games get delayed further without Al Horford playing last night. You've already missed Embiid for three. Ben Simmons has missed two with the shoulder injury. So I give him even more credit for coming back last night. You want that to start as soon as possible. You want that clock to start as soon as possible. What, you've had six games where they've all been together? If that.
Yeah. I don't think it's been that.
Maybe five? It's crazy to think about.
It is. And here's the thing. As disjointed as this offense looks, there's a reason why. There was a lot of wide open threes last night. You're going to get that all year because this team isn't a good shooting three-point team. Mm-hmm. So other teams are going to pack in, maybe even play zones, and just pack things in and let them have open three-point shots. To get fluidity on offense, you want the defense to be moving in places that that you want them to go so you can counteract going somewhere else. Defenses aren't moving against the Sixers. They're packing it in and staying stationary because they're letting them shoot outside shots. There's no reason to move with them. Keep it packed in. Don't let them have an inside game. So the offense is going to look disjointed, and the way you get through that is by playing together and figuring stuff out. If they're not doing it, it goes longer and longer and longer.
610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Coming up in a minute, we'll speak to Adam Schefter of ESPN. But you are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. 8 o'clock hour, brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. Little bit of a flex situation here with the Eagles, and now on the line with us, brought to you by none other than Rothman Orthopedics and the Spine Institute at Rothman Orthopedics. Trust Rothman Orthopedics, minimally invasive, maximally effective. Visit RothmanSpine.com. Adam Schefter joins us, as he does every Wednesday at 8 o'clock. Good morning, Adam.
Mark, Trey, Bob, Philadelphia. Good morning to everybody.
Good morning, sir. First thing is we have a little schedule change for the Eagles in 2 weeks. Any surprise there that the Eagles get flexed out with Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks coming to town in 2 weeks? They go instead to Green Bay and San Francisco.
It's a little bit of a surprise, I think, when you look at it. You know, I just got the notice yesterday that the Niners and Packers are being flexed in. I didn't even stop to think, well, you know, I was wondering who got flexed out, because I was swimming in Colin Kaepernick stuff.
Sure.
But and it was funny because I was with the Seahawks on Monday night in San Francisco, and they were bemoaning to me the fact that they had four straight primetime games, the first of which was last Monday. Then they have a bye this week, and then it was going to be at Philly. Then it's the Minnesota and the Rams, I believe. But the point is that when you play, if you're a West Coast team and you're playing a Sunday night game on the East Coast, game ends, we'll make this up, 11:30, roughly, 11:15, 11:30, mm-hmm. right? Team is out of there, I'd say, on the, you know, showering, out of the locker room, to the airport, loading the plane. I would say they're out of there 1:30 in the morning, mm-hmm. roughly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're getting back to their home in Seattle at like 5:36 in the morning. Like, that's not fun.
Yeah.
That's not fun.
It affects 2 days, at least.
Yeah.
In terms of the travel and the recovery, it affects 2 days.
Right. And then you've got a short week to get ready for another primetime game. So the fact that what time was the game moved to? Is it a 4 o'clock?
1 o'clock. 1 o'clock game. 1 o'clock.
The Seahawks, I'm sure, are doing cartwheels and backflips. Like, now they'll be home. Well, let's see, 4 o'clock, 6, about midnight. Like, okay, fine. You know, like, that's great.
Oh, jeez. So maybe there was some push from the team where they were like, oh, yeah,
No. Let's be very frank about it.
Okay.
No. The networks don't care about the push from the team. They care about what's going to be best for TV ratings.
Sure,
and in this particular case, the NFL and NBC felt that the Niners-Packers would rate higher than the Eagles Seahawks.
That's all that really matters. And Adam, I have this conversation with people all the time because I don't really believe in, you know, fill in the blank. National announcer blank hates my team. They don't. Yeah. They just care about the rating and making sure they catch their flight afterwards. That's from my experience what the number one thing there.
People ask me all the time, who's your favorite team? You know, I get that question quite a bit. And I really mean this. First of all, you root for people, not teams, as I'm sure you guys would know. And number two, My favorite team, without question, going away, not even in dispute, is my fantasy team. And if you're on my fantasy team, I'm rooting like crazy for you. If you're not, I'm not.
What, wonderfully said. Wonderfully said. Now, well, let's get to the Colin Kaepernick thing, because you were, you know, putting all that stuff out there yesterday. So what is the latest on it? He's going to have a workout now for these NFL teams?
Well, okay, let's spell it out to you, okay. And then you can interpret it the way that you want.
Okay.
Basically, yesterday, the NFL went to Colin Kaepernick and his camp and said, we have scheduled a workout for you. And it sounds great, right? Like, wow, okay. Mm. Going to work out Colin Kaepernick, who hasn't gotten any visits or workouts the last few years from NFL teams, and this sounds great. It's going to be Saturday in Atlanta. The only thing is Colin Kaepernick didn't know about this. He was informed of it yesterday. And so when he and his reps were informed of it, they said basically, well, a Saturday now with 4 days' notice, like, well, in the NFL, what are teams doing on Saturday primarily?
Mm-hmm. Traveling and getting ready.
They're traveling and getting ready. How many head coaches or general managers or personnel executives do you think are traveling to Atlanta on Saturday to go watch Colin Kaepernick work out? And in fact, I called down to the Falcons yesterday, and I said, hey, in your backyard, you going to be at the Colin Kaepernick workout? And they said, we got the Panthers on Sunday. We're going to Carolina on Saturday.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Okay. So you get an idea. Now, Colin Kaepernick last night tweeted, he said, yep, all fired up and excited about my workout on Saturday in Atlanta, looking forward to seeing all those NFL head coaches and GMs. Okay? Now you understand what he is doing, okay? How many head coaches and GMs do you think are going to be there? Like, we have this week the Packers and the Giants, and I'm sure others on a bye. Do you think the Packers GM, Brian Gutekunst, and the Giants GM, Dave Gettleman, has been waiting 6 months, working around the clock, working every weekend, to go use their bye week on a Saturday to go watch Colin Kaepernick, who's been on the street for 3 years now, work out in Atlanta? Do you think that's what they're doing?
Yeah, I would say no. I would say that's a big no.
And so Colin Kaepernick said to the NFL, wisely, I think, give us a list of all the personnel people and coaches that are scheduled to be there. And then we'll go work out. Now, again, if the league produces to them a list that has, I don't know, 10, 15, 20, 40 names on it of qualified people that are going to be in attendance, yeah, I'll bet you Colin Kaepernick does work out for those teams. But if the league can't do that, I don't think he's going to work out. Mm-hmm. Why would he?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, again, Colin Kaepernick said, well, why can't we do this on a Tuesday? Tuesday is typically the day that NFL teams work. NFL said Saturday. He said, what about a week from Saturday? Give us a little time to get it together. No, this Saturday.
Mm.
So I guess my mind and the slew of people that I spoke to yesterday was, why did the NFL do this? Why did the NFL go here?
Oh, I think that's obvious.
Well, what do you say?
I say it because they're still offering the workout to him, despite it being a sham, for lack of a better term. They're still offering a workout to Colin Kaepernick. If you're Colin Kaepernick and you really want to get back in the league, as they say, beggars can't be choosers. He's in a situation right now where it's not like teams are beating down his door, as we know, for the last couple of years. So if the NFL is offering, as much of a farce as it might be, a workout, you still have to take it.
Well, and I think that's the NFL's thinking. We're the NFL. We're offering this to you.
Yeah.
You need to do it, okay? And I think that's the way the NFL is thinking on this. And again, I also think, to me, you know, why now, right? And I had that conversation. And the best I can tell is that 2-3 weeks ago, and I'd have to check my Twitter timeline, I posted some facts that Colin Kaepernick's reps released stating his case, because he is going to go down in history as a historical figure, whether you like it or not, agree with it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so they spelled out a bunch of facts. Fact, Colin Kaepernick has not been called by any team. Fact, you know, fact. And I don't think the NFL liked that.
Mm.
Like, I don't think they like Colin Kaepernick getting his viewpoints out there. Now, to me, if I was the NFL, I would just say, you know what, that's the way it is, and you just leave it alone and let it be. But the NFL didn't let it be. The NFL wanted to create a workout under the idea that it's being fair and open and giving him a chance.
I will just say this. One of the biggest farces in all of this is that Colin Kaepernick, who has helped lead a team to a Super Bowl and has a quarterback rating that would be at least in the middle of the pack right now in terms of the NFL and where quarterbacks are, needs to hold a workout to tell me whether if he's better than any of the direct they've laid out for the New York Jets with Falk or even Simeon throughout the year. Like, people should know. I know he hasn't played. I know you've only heard that he's worked out. But, I mean, that's really what it comes down to, is if he can help a team win at the NFL level.
There's no question about that. And so, look, I mean, that is not in dispute. I think we all could agree with all the quarterbacks the NFL has tried out, mm-hmm. worked out, signed. You can't tell me that all of those people, all of them, are better than Colin Kaepernick. I have a hard time believing that.
No, I'm with you. I want to move on because there's some other news that surrounded the Eagles this week. Most notably, Brandon Brooks getting rewarded with a huge contract. Best right guard in football. Pro Football Focus has ranked him as that, really, week in and week out. I mean, it seems like the Eagles are making a great deal here for a guy who is 30 years old.
I'd agree with that, and I think Brandon Brooks would probably say, okay, look, I'm getting all this money up front right now, and again, as a player, you never know when your next down, next game will be your last game. So if you get any form of security like that, especially at those types of numbers, you take it. And that's what the Eagles, I think, have done a great job of for years is, for lack of a better term, preying upon that weakness. Now, the player gets a great deal. I mean, you get security for life. What else can you ask? The issue is, what happens if and when there's a new CBA in 2021 and Brandon Brooks is still playing at that level and he's 32, 33, and he sees guards making, and I'm making this up, $20 million a year, right? Like that, then he's going to be disappointed. But that day is a long way off,
yeah.
And it's far away. Mm-hmm. And he didn't want to wait, and I understand that, and he got a great deal. Got a great deal. He should be happy and proud. But that's what the Eagles are doing. They're getting ahead of it and being ahead of the curve and being proactive and doing the deal now, paying a little bit more now, but saving for it later.
Now, Adam, as a guy, I'm speaking with Adam Schefter for ESPN, as a guy who has covered this league for a long time and seen guys come back from injury, I mean, he tore his Achilles in January, and he's back at this level already. Have you ever seen anything like this? Does anything compare?
I'm sure it does. Adrian Peterson off a torn ACL in 6 months was pretty miraculous.
Sure, okay. Yeah.
I mean, you know, that guy was a freak, and not to diminish what Brandon Brooks has done, but playing offensive line off an Achilles and playing running back with ACL, like, woo. But, I mean, what he did is incredible. I'm sure that there probably are other players who've done it, and Trey would know this better than us. If you're going to have that injury, he's probably playing the right position to have that injury at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is right leg, so, you know, it's outside foot, right. So that's the one you're going to be playing on a lot, so, yeah.
I mean, it's not ideal.
Right, absolutely.
No, but what I'm saying is if you had a wide receiver blow out his Achilles or a running back blow out his Achilles,
sure.
Good luck coming back from that injury at that position. That's all I'm saying.
Now, Schefter, I want to look at the Eagles' opponent this weekend in New England. An 8-1 record. Everybody looks at it and just says, oh, it's the Patriots again. But is there kind of fool's gold there in that, you know, they've run this 8-1 record with wins over, you know, you got the likes of Miami, the Jets, Buffalo, Washington, Giants, Jets again, Cleveland. Where is this team, this 8-1 Patriots team, maybe in comparison to the great Patriots team of years past?
Well, Bob, I would never use fool's gold with the Patriots, right? Like not
yeah, good point.
What they've had for as long as that, but I understand your point, and I don't disagree with it. Right? They, I think they are a more vulnerable 8-1 team than the teams that played before. Like they opened up, they were 8-0, and everybody looked like okay, this team looks invincible, unbeatable, and I just think that they covered up some blemishes with some great defensive play and a lot of turnovers. And you're pointing at the soft schedule. Yes, that's a factor, sure. But the team had some questions in the first half of the year. Now, here's what I will say, is that this is a team that is getting back its best offensive lineman in Isaiah Wynn. It's going to get back its first-round pick, N'Keal Harry, which we'll see whether he can contribute. It's going to get back its tight end, Matt Lacoste. Now, Matt Lacoste was never a huge factor in New York, the Giants, but I think they think he's a pretty decent player. So you get three offensive reinforcements. Usually Bill Belichick teams get better as the year goes on. They improve. So the team, if that is true, will get better. It gets back three notable players, and it should be an even better team than it was the first half of the season. But the first half of the season, they did have flaws in their offensive line. They did lack basically some weapons at skill positions. They didn't score as efficiently. They didn't run the football as well as they'd like to. So there are some things there that were real, but they're still the Patriots and they're still the gold standard.
Schefter, real quick, because we're up against it, if you were starting a football team and you had to pick a head coach between Andy Reid and Doug Peterson, who would you take?
Have we had this debate?
No, I just need the name and that's it.
Well, Andy's done it longer, right? So I'd have to go Andy, I would think.
Okay.
But I think Doug has done a great. He's won a Super Bowl, and Andy hasn't. Mm. So I mean, 6-1.
So your answer's Andy Reid. Don't lead the witness, Bob.
Yeah, he's leading the witness. No. He's leading and badgering. Leading and badgering.
You're the best, Shefty.
Shefty, thanks a lot, brother. Appreciate it, man.
Okay, guys. Have a great day.
All right.
Clearly, his answer was Doug Peterson.
That's what I heard as well. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. All right, coming up, we'll hear from Brett Brown after last night's win. Unfortunately, feels like a loss with the 76ers. We also got Dan in Harleysville. Let's talk some Sixers open lines after that. 610-632-0975. Been teasing it all morning as well. In this next segment, you also hear Bill Belichick in his stellar conference call with Philadelphia media. Time of the Fanatic is 8:15.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Coming up, 9 o'clock, we'll continue the football conversation with Sean O'Hara, the NFL Network. I always like Sean O'Hara. I think he does a really good job. I really like how he breaks it down.
Yeah, totally agree.
Yeah, played for the Browns, won a Super Bowl with the Giants over those Patriots. We know that feeling. But here's one thing I'll take away from the Adam Schefter comment before we play for you, Bill Belichick. The Seahawks doing cartwheels over having a 1 o'clock East Coast game. Yes. A lot of people jump to the conclusion of, I'm guilty of this as well, that they won't be happy about playing earlier, which is 10 o'clock to them.
I have a troubling stat on that. Would you like to hear it?
Oh, gross. I already don't like it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Gross.
Go ahead.
I think they beat New England, lose to Seattle. That's the way I see it going.
Okay.
Over the last 4 years, the Seattle Seahawks have only played 5 1 o'clock East Coast games.
Okay.
And 5.
And they're terrible, right? They're 0-5.
I wish I could tell you that, Mark.
Okay.
Straight up, they're 4-1.
Damn it.
Against the spread, they're 4-0-1.
Okay, why do you give me this stuff? Because I was about to compliment you, actually.
Presenting facts.
All right.
Russell Wilson's good at football.
He's pretty good.
Who are the teams they played?
I'd have to go back and dig a little deeper.
1 o'clock, huh?
But here's the thing. I'll tell you on the optimistic side of things.
No, one was Atlanta.
I'm starting to come around on your side with the Patriots.
They're the most deceiving 8-1 team. I don't want to say ever, but like in the last 2-3 years.
I will say this, Trey. Mm-hmm. 12 years in the NFL?
Yeah.
All right. Your NFL analysis is unparalleled, my friend.
Thank you.
You break it down like no other.
Oh, thank you.
There have only been 2 weeks where there's been one person on this radio program that has superseded your knowledge of the game.
Okay.
And his name is Jamie Lynch.
That's right.
Because he has pointed out to us that the NFL is weird.
That's it.
Yeah.
And he also pointed out that you get on Tom Brady and he's bad at football.
That's a fact.
Get on Tom Brady and he's bad at football.
And his offensive line sucks this year.
And he also has pointed out to us that the Bills are not a 6-1 team.
Yes.
And we found that out to be true.
Yes, we found that out to be true.
And now he's telling me again that the NFL is weird. And the Patriots aren't that good. And I might have to go with his analysis.
Yeah, they're just like 8-1. Not good.
Nah, stop with the details. Yeah. Details are stupid. Is the NFL weird, Trey?
It is very weird.
That's all we need.
That's it. That's what we're going to have to ride with.
Just peep that Patriots schedule real quick and tell me if you think they're an 8-1 team.
No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go to the negative side and talk about the dynasty that is the Patriots.
No, they're amazing. You can never rule them out. I'm not saying to like you're looking past this team.
Right, but
I just think they're very beatable.
But in my idiot brain, I'm like, I can't jump on that bandwagon because that's been your bandwagon. And I'll jinx the bandwagon. That's how my idiot analysis goes.
And what would you say the strength of the Eagles team is? The run game, right?
Yes.
When they decide to use their strength, yes, absolutely.
What did Baltimore expose with New England?
Run game, but Lamar Jackson's a little bit different than Carson Wentz.
He is, totally. Yeah. But we have two guys that are very, very good. You can run on this defense.
I want to see a little read option with Carson. As long as he slides gracefully.
It's going to be interesting to see what Doug's got up his sleeve.
We saw it in the Vikings game. Bobby, you were a big fan of it. I love seeing it as well. Let's see it against that Bill Belichick clown.
Show off the athleticism. Get other teams on their heels not knowing what Carson Wentz is going to do because of that athleticism.
Let's see it.
Don't make him such a pocket quarterback all the time.
You're going to need to do that against this defense because they're going to play man. So,
yeah, exactly.
You know, they're going to play man, so all right.
Send them deep, have the blitz come, Carson up the middle, runs for 40.
There you go. Go take
and
whatever
then a nice
you
little
get.
Slide at the end.
Mm-hmm. We have it figured out. All Doug needs
to do is
listen to us like he did against the Packers.
He's not as good as coach as Andy Reid is, so he should listen to us.
Now, if Andy Reid would have listened to us, he would have been better here. Maybe
every coach listened to us, he would be better here.
And that's a conversation I'm sure we'll have in one fine off-season day, maybe.
Yes.
610-632-0975. Without further ado, how many times did you watch the Eagles Super Bowl? The one they won against the Patriots?
The one time that it was played.
You just watched it once?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't watch it that much after that.
I'm at six.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, to sit down and watch it from beginning to end.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, no, I didn't.
Does the DVD count as a viewing?
Nah, I mean, no, because it's like a highlight reel type deal. I'm talking about watching the game.
I think I was only at like three or four.
Three or four?
Well, like, I watched the highlights, DVD. But to sit down and watch the game from beginning, no, I haven't.
I watched the DVD whenever I'm like sad.
Why do you hate the Eagles? What the hell?
I know.
I watched it three times.
I guess I'm fake.
Bob Cooney, how many times you watch the Super Bowl?
Probably three or four.
Okay.
Yeah, right around there.
Do you think Bill Belichick is going back and watching the film on the Eagles Super Bowl victory over the Patriots, or do you think he buried it somewhere?
And I didn't hear this cut, in all honesty. I did not hear this cut.
Bill Belichick.
But when you teased it earlier, uh-huh. I thought to myself, why the hell would he?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's what I thought.
And okay. If he does, he's just going to watch it just to piss himself off.
Yeah, it's a different quarterback, a bunch of different players.
I lost to Nick Foles! What the hell, man? My quarterback threw for a million yards on that defense, and I couldn't win. Anyway, so yesterday during his conference call with Philadelphia media, it's as riveting as you would assume, Bill Belichick was asked about that Super Bowl film.
Bill, did you go back and look at that tape at all from the Super Bowl as a resource for this week?
Yeah, we've seen a lot of film on the Eagles.
But that Super Bowl game in particular.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of film on the Eagles.
I love him.
All right. One more time. Just in case people missed it. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of information exchanged.
There's a lot of information right there.
Bill Belichick with the Philadelphia media yesterday.
Bill, did you go back and look at that tape at all from the Super Bowl as a resource for this week?
Yeah, we've seen a lot of film on the Eagles.
But that Super Bowl game in particular.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of film on the Eagles.
It's so good.
I don't know who the media person is asking the question. If I didn't know any better, I would be like, it sounds like he's taunting Bill Belichick. Hey, you going to watch that again, Bill? You going to watch that game you lost, Bill?
Yeah.
Like, that's what it sounds like.
Because there's no reason for him to.
I'm literally crying.
It's not like, you know, it's the same exact team that you played 2 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
You're talking 2 years ago. A different quarterback. A totally different team.
But it's Bill Belichick. I wouldn't be surprised, Trey, if he went back and watched your Super Bowl with the Eagles. Like, in all honesty, this guy totes around an NFL scouting book written by his father. This guy totes around a book written 1923 with NFL plays in it. Like, that's Bill Belichick. Of course he's going back and watching that film.
He worked a defense that was, he only showed it in the fourth preseason in the fourth quarter.
Wait, what? Run that by
one
more time?
He ran a defense one time. It was a little different wrinkle.
Uh-huh.
He only showed it in the fourth preseason game, like in the fourth quarter.
Wow.
Just to totally do what? Like a
just so that he can just get a look at how it looked.
And then hit it away.
Like, who's going to watch that?
Right.
Nobody's going to watch that when you're breaking down film.
Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick is the first.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, that's weird.
Because it's a fourth preseason game. Nobody thinks about the fourth preseason game. And, like, the fourth quarter. Like,
yeah.
Jamie, you might have been in this game, too, but the Ravens-Patriots game was a Sunday night game.
Yeah, we worked a lot of those.
But it was in New England. Bill Belichick had a lineman report as ineligible.
Yeah, I remember that.
And the referee was so dumbfounded by how stupid that is.
He broke the ref's brain.
The ref announced it.
Yeah. He said, like, 79 is reporting as an ineligible receiver.
And the Ravens.
And everybody's like, what?
The Ravens were like, he meant eligible. Let me cover that guy. And he covered him.
Yeah, the Ravens.
And they got a first down out of it.
He did something else this year where he found a loophole in the rules. I forget what it was. Something to do with the review. But, like, I think he knows the rule book better than the people that write the rule book.
Absolutely.
Because he knows how to exploit every loophole.
He can find a loophole better than a lawyer.
Yeah.
Right? He is incredible when it comes
to that. He really is.
So, look, I give him all the credit in the world for that, and I don't doubt for a second. And, Trey, even if it is the point, even if it is for the point that you were making just to piss him off, yeah, he's probably watching that Super Bowl footage again. And guess who else is? Tom Brady. The two of them are probably sitting there with, like, no popcorn, no sodas, no nothing, just sitting there staring at the TV watching that game again.
They asked him about the Brady question. You know, what do you think about Tom being still upset about that Super Bowl? And he goes, well, he's a great competitor. I'm still angry about games from 1975 we lost.
See, I don't doubt that even a little bit.
And I was like, no.
Like, in all honesty, like, I was a horrible athlete, right? But, like, I'll still think about plays I could have had in my, like, in, like, a crappy summer league basketball game. Plays I should have, I wish I could have done different, right? Like, Trey, I can't imagine what it's like for someone that was at your level.
Yeah. You know, you spend your whole time like, damn, I wish I would have did that. I wish I would have did that.
Yeah.
Can't go back.
Like, if Bob, if we're doing that, like, and you play in college and stuff, like, you still relive those days. If you're Tom Brady, you're losing the Super Bowl. Even with six Super Bowl rings, you're still going back and reliving moments.
Oh, no question. You remember the losses more than the wins. Like Trey said yesterday. I don't remember the wins. The losses, though, they kind of stick out.
Oh, yeah, they absolutely stick.
Your failures are always going to hinder you more than your wins are going to, you know, elate you. I think.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Now, coming up, we're going to get an update on our Twitter poll with how people are feeling about that Sixers win last night, because as of right now, it feels like a loss. And even though this one is a win, it will stick with people, because not a lot of people are confident about the Sixers. Their start to the season, their first 10 games are 7-3.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't really feel encouraged by a start where they've already lost three games. Joel Embiid still looks like he's having conditioning issues. And Ben Simmons still looks hesitant to shoot from the outside, even though encouraging. I know it was still in the paint, but a lot of still turnaround jumper for Ben Simmons last night that he worked in. And the most encouraging thing just of last night's game in itself was that Ben Simmons was trying to fight through an injury to get back on the floor. And apparently, Tobias Harris was very sickly. He was ill, as Brett Brown told us. But yet he played in the game last night and fought to at least help on what was a game-winning play, despite going 0-for-11, tying the franchise mark for worst ever in franchise history, 0-for-11 from beyond the arc.
So his NBA poops might force Joel Embiid to play back-to-back games tonight.
Ooh.
I mean, if he's sick, I don't know, flying down to Orlando last night after a game, feeling sick. I don't know how much he's going to recover today in order to be able to play tonight. Are you going to go into a game tonight without Joel Embiid and Tobias Harris? I don't know.
That's very interesting.
And the fact, like, it's just such a bad taste in my mouth. That, oh, back to back. I don't know if Joel's going to be able to play tonight or if he's going to play tonight. God, just play the damn game. You got a game, play.
I love what Elaine
Beard
now.
I'm really getting tired.
Jamie gave me a quote from Jordan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool, isn't it?
Yeah, what did Jordan say?
I got I pay your ass to play 82 games, I believe. Something along those lines.
Yeah. It was exactly on those lines. I pay you to play 82 games.
Michael
I
Jordan?
Don't do load management.
Yeah, he was asked about load management. And he goes, yeah, as an owner, I pay you to play 82 games.
Yeah.
Yeah, what does that do for you?
Well,
as a player.
If Michael Jordan's the owner, nothing.
Nothing? That doesn't spark anything.
Hey, MJ, shut up. That's
Could
what
you
I
imagine
say.
Being really? Like
He's a terrible owner.
Terry Rozier and going up to MJ like, hey, man, my knees are real achy.
Uh-huh.
I need this game off. I'll get you next one.
Yeah, no.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah, I get it. But Michael Jordan as an owner is like one of the worst things to ever happen in sports.
That doesn't spark anything in you to have the greatest to tell you, look, man, 82 games.
Right. Yeah, that's great. Michael Jordan as an owner should be non-existent. Like, it's one of the worst things ever happened in basketball. It really is.
Why do you hate Michael Jordan?
I love MJ,
Mark,
man.
Mark hates Michael Jordan.
I do. I hate the owner, Michael Jordan.
Why?
Because he's a bum.
Why well, is he the a one bum? Thing is...
Because he can't win.
Well, that's
ever,
the thing.
In any, why is he a bum? Haseem the Beat. Any more questions? He's terrible as an owner. He's terrible for basketball as an owner. He's great in everything else. If Michael Jordan just pulls you aside as Michael Jordan, the former player, oh, yeah, damn, I'm kicking the ass, definitely. But as an owner, I'm like, pfft. He's terrible.
It's a tequila bottle soaps at 23 degrees.
Yeah, he does great.
He's awesome.
Everything else, he's wonderful. Selling shoes. He's a remarkable shoe salesman. Yeah, NBA amazing. Owner, man, not so much.
Okay.
Well, if you're a player, you say, yeah, I'll play all 82. Kawhi played 82 last year also. Just so happens he played 22 playoff games, which Charlotte never gets into. So play 82 regular season games, you're going to equal the amount of guys that do load management because they actually make the playoffs.
All right. Now, also coming up a little
that's
later.
A good way of looking at that, Bobby.
There I like you go.
That.
You like that, Trey? Yeah, deep, good. Deep thinking.
We will hear from Elaine Vigneault, who joined us yesterday at 9 o'clock. Let you in a little Flyers optimism. So we'll get into that. And also that little load management he got into. Forget about it. Hockey players, they're playing. Why isn't that installed more in the NBA? We'll talk about that in a minute. But Dan in Harleysville, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, buddy?
Hey, how you guys doing? Dan, I'm going to kick their butts.
How do you really feel?
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel.
That is such an interesting. We need to put all that in a Trey live read. That's what we need to do.
Yeah.
There you go. So the Sixers, like, my thing is, like, I don't know how to feel exactly because, like, if you would have told me before the season, like, Embiid only plays half the games and he's kind of acting like a nut job a little bit, like a little bit of a head case. Simmons is still not shooting and Tobias Harris is, like, 25% from beyond the arc. I'm going, oh, God, that's a worst-case scenario. They stink. It's going to be a disaster. And then I look at him and they're, what, 7-3?
Yeah.
So I go... So I'm torn because I go, God, this is bad. All the bad things I thought might happen are happening. And then the flip side here is, well, hypothetically, they have to, all that has to improve, at least some of it needs to improve, and they're still 7-3. So they, like, I don't know how to feel.
Yeah, that's why we asked the question, because if you look at it on the surface and you go 7-3, any NBA team starts at 7-3, they went 7 of their first 10, you're going, all right, that's pretty good. And then you find out you don't have Embiid. For two games for a suspension, another game for an injury, and in those games, he has looked lethargic. You didn't have Al Horford because of load management. Ben Simmons missed two games. Josh Richardson's getting to know his new teammates who are barely around him. You take away from it, you go, okay, that's kind of encouraging. Right. But still, so are they that good
that they can have all these problems and be that good now, or is the rest of the competition just so bad?
The rest of the competition's bad. If we're going to talk about it with the Eagles, oh, well, look who they beat, that type of thing. It's not different in any other sport. You always have to look at who you beat.
Especially in the NBA, because it's so top-heavy. What do you got, 6 teams, 8 teams maximum that are, like, legitimate teams?
There's three other teams not named the Sixers in the Raptors, the Celtics, and the Bucks that you're going to be focusing on that might give you some problems if you're going to win the Eastern Conference. Right. So and the by Celtics the way, the Raptors, Pascal Siakam is off to another phenomenal start this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe we got the wrong Cameroonian or whatever.
Oh, boy. Get you, Danny.
Hot take, Dan.
Danny, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. 610-632-0975.
Killing it, though.
Now, look, he took a huge step forward last year.
Yeah, he's taking another one. Cameroonian. 610-632.
It used to be the wrong brother.
And no bitch.
It used to be the wrong brother. Now it's the wrong Cameroonian. That's how more specific we've gotten in Philadelphia. 610-632-0975. But no, Pascal Siakam takes a huge step forward. Last year, he learned to shoot. Looked great last year, helped beat the Sixers. This year, again, this guy's averaged, 24 points a game almost this year?
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He's pretty damn good. 610-632-0975. Real quick, Sam Wilson, let's get an update on our Twitter poll, please. What's it looking like?
Our Twitter poll is brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows, plus make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. This morning we asked, are you encouraged by the Sixers' start to the season? We have just under 1,900 votes. 53% said no, they are not.
There you go. There you go, folks. It's very interesting. 7-10, they have won so far. Now the majority. Not vast by any means. Not encouraged. 610-632-0975. I just got a message from someone I know saying, you called Jordan a bum? That's hilarious. As an owner.
Now you hate Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan.
LeBron's better.
No, Michael. Oh,
I can't believe you said during the break that Scottie Pippen was the real reason they won all those titles. I was really twisted.
Get it right. I said John Paxton.
All
right.
My bad.
Get
Bill Weddington.
Right. Bill. Luke Longley.
Bill Cartwright.
Luke Longley carried that team.
I became somewhat friendly with Luke in Australia.
Aw, how cute.
He used to come into a restaurant I worked at when I was over there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Brett's good friends with him. He's told me he's a really, really good
guy.
He's
an awesome dude.
But how am I just learning this little factoid about your life?
I mean, like, friendly, like, oh, hey, you know, I told him what an NBA fan I was, and we had conversations every time he came in the restaurant.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Luke Longley.
As a young child, Luke Longley. I was like, man, if I could just make it to 7 foot, I have a really good chance of making it to the NBA. Like, all I got to do is be Luke Longley? That's done. I can do that. 610-632-0975. Time of the Fanatic, 842.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Sean O'Hara coming up at 9 o'clock. We'll get to Brett Brown, what he had to say after last night's game regarding those turnovers. And I agree with him. Now, I don't know whether or not to believe him about Tobias Harris. I got to be honest. I don't know.
You need a poop sample or something? What don't you believe?
First off, let's not jump to the idea that it was gastroenteritis. Could have been just, it's a little queasy. Not necessarily hashtag NBA poops. Maybe it's hashtag NBA throws up. Not the
Bob, stop being so immature.
That wasn't me. Oh, that's right. I've been labeled immature along with you.
Stop being a child, Bob.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
But anyway, because would he go out and make that statement about Tobias Harris being he needs him to be a 6'8 JJ Redick?
And then he goes 0 for 11.
And then he goes 0 for 11 from 3. And then after the game,
he wanted to get in the record books.
By the way, he's sick. And then he went into detail about it. I'm sure there was a little stomach bug or something. I don't think Brett's lying to us. But I wonder if it's as bad as he had told us. 0 for 11 is pretty bad.
Yeah.
It's weird that he would make that request or statement before the game. And then after 0 for 11, worst franchise history, he's sick.
And what did he go, 34 minutes?
Played 33 minutes, I think it was the total for him last night. Something like that. Yeah whatever. Right? He played over 30 minutes last night. So it's a little odd. As far as I'm concerned. So it's a little weird. The other thing is I have a bit of an issue here that I might need some help with, fellas.
What's up?
Thanksgiving's a couple of weeks away.
Uh-huh. I love Thanksgiving.
It really is. It's the greatest holiday.
We did Friendsgiving last weekend. And I had two full plates.
Oh, there you go.
All the fixings. Oh.
It's the greatest thing. It's the greatest holiday.
Is it your favorite?
32,
right?
Well, look, Christmas Eve is the one day that I have kept sacred throughout my, everyone knows, if you're in broadcasting, you're in sports media, whatever it might be, the NBA or the NFL, the sports make your schedule. So that can be tough. But the one day I've been able to keep sacred is Christmas Eve. But it's still Christmas, and Christmas, there's pressure. There's buying presents. There's some anxiety for people. But Thanksgiving, you just show up and you eat.
I never looked at Christmas as pressure. That's interesting you said that, Mark.
That's how some people look at it, because they have to go out, they have to buy the presents and all that stuff. Yeah,
have you given bad gifts in the past and people were not happy?
No, I knock it out of the park, man.
All right, I'm worried about you.
But in all seriousness...
You don't have to give me anything.
Thank you, Bob.
You're welcome.
But with Thanksgiving, you just go and you show up and you eat, right?
Oh, it's the best.
Now, Thanksgiving is a holiday that I've missed a bunch of times. Last year was my first Thanksgiving home in about 11 years where I wasn't like doing a football game somewhere, right? So I was excited to have it. And this year I was told, I celebrate now with my wife's family, that they were going to do pizza on Thanksgiving.
What do you mean, for lunch?
They were going to go to my brother-in-law's and that we were going to make pizza. Everyone's going to make their own pizza for Thanksgiving.
For dinner.
For Thanksgiving. The Thanksgiving meal would be pizza.
Oh, this is lame.
Mark, you are officially invited over my house.
This is absolutely awful.
I swear to God.
No, hold on. That's a terrible idea.
And Uncle Jake would love to have you over if you want to come by, Mark.
Terrible idea.
Yeah, you got to flip board.
Just hold on 1 second. My wife says to me a couple of weeks ago, hey, by the way, we think we're going over her brother's place. We're going to go over there for Thanksgiving, and we're thinking about making pizzas. And I go, that's the Thanksgiving meal, pizza. She goes, yeah, that's what we're leaning towards. It's simple, it's easy, everyone can have fun making pizza.
That sucks.
Thanksgiving's not about simple and easy.
Now, look, I'll have pizza 363 3 days out of the year.
Because
I'm not having it Christmas Eve.
Right.
Unless it's like a lobster pizza that I made or something
right?
No. And I'm not doing it on Thanksgiving. So she says, we're leaning towards that. So I don't make a big steak. I go,
you should make a big steak.
Well, no. This was when I was in the preliminary round.
You come to my house.
Yeah, thank you, Bob.
You're welcome.
I'm like, this is the preliminary round. So then my in-laws were over for a week. They were up at the house with my wife and I and Lil Toots, right, enjoying the grandchild. And they say to me, as I'm changing a diaper, by the way, this conversation gets had. They look at me and they go, we're going to do the pizzas for Thanksgiving. They said this to me. They go, we're going to do the pizzas for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And I go, oh, okay, that sounds like something you guys will enjoy. And my wife looks at me, wait, you guys will enjoy, what do you... And I'm like, I'm not doing pizza on Thanksgiving. I'll bring my own turkey leg if I have to, with mashed potatoes, with corn, mix it together, with gravy, and stuffing.
Skippy.
And I will eat that.
That's right.
And I said, and they go, well, what if we all do pizza? And I go, well, I'll have a pizza. I'll just have a turkey pizza, minus the crust, the cheese, and the, you know, the tomato sauce.
Would a gobbler pizza be good? I'm just thinking out loud here. I've never thought about this once in my life.
Don't melt my brain right now. I'm still trying to wrap my head around having pizza for Thanksgiving.
You could do the stuffing as like the base layer with some cranberry sauce on top.
And you know how more messed up this is?
Stop selling me on this idea, Jamie.
That would be kind of good, right?
Stop selling me.
Have another chicken.
I can't have cranberry.
What?
I have like a weird like allergy with cranberry.
Oh, that sucks.
I throw up. If I have cranberry, boom, throw up. It's like pushing a button.
Really?
Dead serious. That's serious.
I don't love cranberry, but I could eat it.
I'm not saying it's like a choice. I'm just saying.
The only time of the year it's good is Thanksgiving. It's science.
I'm out. I want none of it.
That's a shame.
I don't want any of the canned stuff that still looks like the can.
I'm out on yams.
Yams I could do without, but I'm just saying. Now, I think it's a horrible idea. I'm not doing pizza on Thanksgiving.
No.
I just want to know.
That Thanksgiving pizza sounds kind of good, doesn't
it? Okay, stop selling me on
here's your defense. On yams? You don't do yams?
I'm not a big yams man.
Really? I'm not a yams guy either.
Really?
No, not so much.
Do you do the mallowed yams with the marshmallows on top?
No, we don't do all that.
Okay. Some people get crazy with that.
Yeah, they put the
heavy syrup on that, man. Like, you know.
Trey, in all honesty, now you've been giving me your honest opinion, which I appreciate. How do I handle this situation? How would you handle this situation?
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Yeah. I got the perfect answer for you. I'm not kidding.
What's that?
Here's what you do.
All right. Are you giving me directions to your house, Bob?
Listen. This is what you say to Toots. Listen, Toots.
Okay. No.
This is
Toots.
Listen, Toots. This is Lil Toots's first Thanksgiving. She will be speaking this time next year. Thanksgiving comes next year, and she's going to tell all her little friends, mm-hmm. Oh, I can't wait till Thursday, pizza day. And all her little friends are going to go, what the hell are you talking about?
That's true. That's right.
Lil Toots is going to be friendless by the time she's two.
That's it. You're right. This will scar my daughter.
It'll scar your daughter for life.
It starts her out on the wrong foot for Thanksgiving.
There's absolutely no question.
Will she love America if she has pizza on Thanksgiving?
I don't see how.
I don't see how it's possible.
No.
I think we've solved the problem here.
Yeah, I think so.
I want a Thanksgiving pizza now. That's a new problem that I have. Gravy and cranberry mixed in as the sauce.
Would you like crisp the stuffing as the crust?
Oh. No. Normal pizza crust.
All right.
And then you lay down a gravy and maybe cranberry combo sauce. We'll leave the cranberry out for you, Mark. A little stuffing, a little turkey, and gravy.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.